How many of you are believing for great things to fall into your lap? You were not here this morning. Your fish will not be jumping in your boat, and the degree will not become a degree by itself. And you're not going to get 6 distinctions without applying yourself. There's a journey. And this young generation, hello, wave at me, young people, wave at me. There we go. You all young people, I caught you. You are actually all young people. You can wave at me tonight. The thing about life is that people want life to be easy. Because nobody told you as a young person, life does not reward no effort. There comes a day that you realize that you have to put in the hard yards. That mama's not there, papa's not there, granny is not there, your coach is not there. You have to take the journey. You have to make up your mind. When we started in the ministry this year, it's 40 years. Can you believe it? 40 years. Oh, come on, clap better than that. 40 years I've been doing exactly the same thing. 40 years. My 40th year. Praise God. And I'm 41. I started when I was young, 1 year old, okay? But when we started this journey, I started as a gopher. You know what that is? Somebody that just goes for it. Then we started our first church with 6 people. And we realized this was going to be a journey. That nothing was going to be easy. Every step of the way, we were met with resistance and opposition. Still today. Therefore, your attitude is never optional. To be strong and courageous as a young person. Your attitude at the start of the journey. No matter what happens, no matter what knocks me, no matter how many times I fall, I will not quit on my dream. I will not quit on my vision. And don't forget, next week is our Vision Sunday. And the week after that is our Lions Conference. And all the brothers say, no, hoorah. That's going to be a good conference because we're going to say it as it is. There'll be no television, no live stream, no nothing. It's a closed session. No ladies allowed. Nobody under the age of 14 allowed. And that's just it because the brothers need to look one another in the eye and we need to talk about certain things, right? Without the woman. Not that we don't like the woman, but there's a time for men to have their own space. We have to talk about certain things, right? So life, ask any person who's built anything great in life, including our first president of the New South Africa, Nelson Mandela. Life is a journey of adversity, overcoming much difficulty, living with a bold spirit, refusing to quit, with determination, commitment, daring, resilient, refusing to ever back down. Life is not about your feelings. It's not about your emotions. It's not about how you feel on that day. Any athlete can tell you they don't feel like training every day. Any rugby player can tell you they don't feel like running onto the rugby pitch every day. But if they don't show up on the rugby pitch, they will not be chosen the next week. So you have to make up your own mind that I'm going to get ahead in life. Because that's God's plan for you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you what? A future and a hope. So you sitting here today, educated, uneducated, young, old, doesn't matter. Black, white, colored, Asian, whatever your skin pigmentation is. God has a great future for you. Say a good amen in Jesus' name. And you need to make up your mind that you will pursue that future, that nothing will deter you and no one will stop you, and you will not listen to the wrong voices that will try to undermine you and weaken you. Because here's the reality. When you climb a mountain, not everybody wants to summit that mountain. So you have to choose your relationships very, very carefully. Because some people will get you base camp, and if you want to climb further on, they're going to try and persuade you, no, it's not worth the pain. Hey, no pain, no gain. Life is filled with challenges and obstacles. There's no plain sailing in the Bible. Whoever told you that there's a gravy train, whoever told you there's a free handout, lied to you. You've got to climb your mountain. You've got to possess your land. You've got to take the journey. You've got to make up your mind as a young person, I'm going to be the top. When I'm 30, I'm going to be at the top of my game. When I'm 40, I'm going to own my game. You have the right to make that decision, and nobody has the right to tell you you cannot. Because if it's God's plan for you, you better go for it and get rid of the crutches, the excuses of the uncommitted. Get rid of the voices of the naysayers. Get rid of the self-doubt. Get rid of the unbelief. Get rid of the procrastination, and get on with the life that God called you to live. And I want to tell you, it is a large life. It is a beautiful life, but God needs you to be brave and bold and courageous and daring. And you can be because of this one thing. God says, I am with you. Ha ha ha. And that means if God is for me, who can be against me? I'm in the majority because I have God on my side. I have God in my business. I have God in my ministry. I have God in my marriage. I have God on my side. If God is in the equation, you will prevail. If God is in the equation, you will be unstoppable. If God is in the equation, you will possess the promises that God has for you. The time has come for you, for CRC, for every pastor to stand up, to man up, to rise up, to show up, and to become that unstoppable man and woman of God that God called you to be. Stop living in a place of excuse. Stop living in a place of neutralizing yourself. Stop living in a place of listening to the voices in your mind, and make up your mind. I'm going to be strong and courageous. So who wasn't here this morning? It's okay, just lift your hands. Hi. Okay, let's make an altar call. It's most of you. So just a little recap. The other people, don't get bored with the recap, because to hear the same thing twice is a good thing for you. Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 1, the Lord speaks to us at Horeb saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. It's a word, a prophetic word for us as a church, as a move, and for many of you as an individual. You've stayed at the long place enough. Time to move on. You can say amen, please. Because some of you are waiting for something. You're waiting for the rapture bus. You are praying, oh, come, Lord Jesus. Well, he might not come in your lifetime. You've got to occupy. You've got to live with a forward mind. You've got to live with a ready mind. You've got to make up your mind. No matter what happened yesterday, I'm taking the journey into the land that God has prepared for me. So God says, turn and take the journey. Tell the person next to you again, you've got to turn and you've got to take the journey. Might be a journey towards your health, your mental well-being, recovering your finances, but it's going to be a journey. If God does a miracle, I'm happy. But we don't live by miracles. We sing that beautiful song, miracle after miracle, and thank God for the miracles, but we don't live by miracles. We live by faith. That means you better have a made-up mind. You need to be sober and vigilant. You need to pay attention. You need to make the right decisions. You need to take responsibility for your life. Say amen. So go vote, but Jesus already liberated you. So he says, take your journey and go. So we are moving from waiting to moving. You talk to pastors, they're still waiting on the Lord. What are you waiting for? You know, I can't reach people. Well, Jesus didn't say wait. He said go. You wanna go feed people? You have to go. You wanna grow your business? You've got to go. You've got to pick up your phone, like in the old day, my day, the old day. Okay, there was this telephone. Okay, none of you know what I'm talking about. But you sat in the office and you did your cold canvas calls, and you were taught for every nine no's, you're gonna get a yes. And I feared that telephone. Why? I feared the no. I feared the rejection. What if they say no? And then you learn to be smart. And then the nine no's become eight no's, become seven no's, become five no's. As you change your attitude, as you change your belief and your faith, same telephone. It might sound strange for you. I was afraid of the telephone. Because you had to go through that telephone book. Anybody knows what a telephone book is? Ach, drie van julle. Okay, julle weet niks. Dis nou baie oudtijds hierdie. Okay, dis was die grammofoon, die platenspeler. Dinge waarvan jy niks weet nie. Maar luister dan maar in elk geval, okay? So, there wasn't social media and you couldn't go on all these platforms to advertise your business and to see where business is available, etc. You had to go through the telephone book, yellow pages, phone, call. I am Jack Jones from Rank Xerox. Do you need a typewriter? Don't phone me again. It's like the call center. Amen. If you're working for the call center, God bless you, because I don't take your calls. How did you get my number in the first place? I don't know. Then I was afraid of public speaking. Say no. Yes. Your pastor that's been doing this for 40 years. I mean, when I started out, it was like I had to fast and pray for the whole week just to speak. And I mean, my knees were knocking together. I was afraid, but I had to conquer the fear. Once in my life, God started opening the schools. And the one morning, and I don't want to say I'm embarrassed, I've repented for it. I actually was going to speak at a school, and I had a running tummy because of the stress. And I phoned the principal, I said, I can't come. I felt like a dog afterwards because young people were waiting, I could keep people safe. And I realized how unselfish I was, that it wasn't about me. It wasn't about my feelings. It wasn't about my emotions. It's about people. So when you begin to realize your life is not about yourself, your life is about the purpose of God, then you conquer your fear. You get on with it, you get over it, and you get busy with what God called you to do. You build a great business so you can employ more people, so you can be more generous for the house of God. It's easy to go sit for some of you here tonight, business people here tonight, for you to retire and for you to say, I've made enough money and just live out your days. But God's got so much more for you in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you why you're not a settler, because God wired you a certain way. You're a Joshua, you're a Caleb of your generation. You are the unstoppable young people that will change South Africa for the glory of God. Come on, all the young people, say amen. All the men, get to your feet and give the Lord a praise. Come on tonight. So yes, we love God's presence, but we're not going to sit and soak oak. We've been prepared. Now we are going to possess. And sometimes people think if God meant it, it will be. No. I think one of the most misunderstood things in the Bible is when people teach grace without responsibility. It's like, I don't have to do anything. Well, you better do something. You have to respond to grace. When you get saved, you are saved by grace through faith. We get that. The rest, everything you receive from God is through grace by faith. By faith. So grace, listen to me, pastors. Grace does not pacify people. Paul says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God. So when God's grace works in your life, you'll be more committed, more determined, more effective, more successful, more resilient. That's what the grace of God does. When you want to give up, you don't. When you are weak, you are strong. Why? Because of God's grace. So saying I'm relying on God's grace doesn't pacify you. No, it activates you. It stirs you, because grace is Jesus personified in your life. And the last words of Jesus was, go. Not sit and soak. You've got to go. You've got to go for that counseling. You've got to go for that situation. You've got to face your giant. You've got to slay your Goliath. Your problems will not disappear by themselves. You have to make up your mind. Because you watch people that just float through life, they never do great things. They always talk about, we're waiting for the right timing. And when is that going to be? 20 years later, you're still waiting for the right timing. When is the right timing? Say it. 1, 2, 3. No, yesterday's gone. And tomorrow's yesterday. So all you have is? All you have is? Al wat jy het is? Hy tog, al wat jy het is? Come, you can all say no. Not N-O-N-O-U, no. All you have is? Now. The choices you make, now. The choices you made yesterday, you can't change them. You can make the right choice today. That's why God says, I call heaven and earth as a witness against you. After repeating himself to Israel over and over and over again, he says that I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. You choose. You have the power of choice. Emotions, feelings will always be part of your humanity. Sometimes you wake up, you don't feel great. Sometimes you just feel low. Sometimes you may feel depressed. Sometimes you feel sad. Sometimes a memory comes. It's part of who you are. You're not a robot. You're not an AI. Your humanity is part of who you are, which is your emotions. We all at times feel discouraged, but we do not bow to discouragement. We all have times of uncertainty, but we do not stay at the place of uncertainty. We all face disappointments, but we do not stay at the place of disappointment. We are not defined by our experiences. We are refined by our experiences. We are purged by God through the things that we go through. So we become stronger. We become more determined. We become more resilient, because tough times don't last, but tough people surely do. And when the going gets tough, that's when the tough get going. When everybody starts quitting, that's when the champions, that's when the winners, that's when the servants of God step into the game and say, give me the ball, give me the bat. I will do what God has called me to do. So what people call prayer is often abdication. When Jesus said to Peter, launch out into the deep in a place of failure, let down the nets, he said, okay, Jesus, you know, I struggled all night. I toiled all night. I've tried. I have failed. There's no fish out there. The fish radar says there's no fish out there. I've been there. It's not working. He said, nevertheless, at your word. Because faith will always contradict your reason. But God operates when you are in faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. God cannot bless stagnation, because anything that's not moving is dying. When I tore three ligaments off the shoulder, those of you that were in the church a few years ago, and my arm was tied to my body for 6 weeks. When my arm was taken out of the sling, I couldn't even move my arm. I preached with it. Yes, I did. And I dressed with one arm, try and do that. Not an easy thing to do. But this arm, for 6 weeks, was tied to my body. When it was taken out of the sling because of no movement, it was weak. I couldn't even lift it. I had to use the other hand to lift it. I had to do little exercises like put my hand on a, some of you that went through this, hopefully never, I had to take my fingers, and my arm was like lame. Like some Christians, they're lame in their faith. Lame in their attitude, because they've been passive. The less you move, the more you deteriorate in your faith. The longer you wait. So I had to get my arm out of the sling, and I had to go for rehabilitation. And these little things in the swimming pool, you know how we like to train gym goers in the swimming pool? I didn't like it, but I had to do it. And then move your arm this way, move your arm that way. And then lift your arm till there, and then put your arm against the wall and crawl up the wall to get movement back. Now I'm okay now, praise God, amen. At least I can use a 5 kilogram dumbbell again. But lack of movement caused my muscles to deteriorate. Lack of forward momentum, listen to me, will cause your faith muscles to wane. That's why vision is never optional. We always need vision of the future. We need to see the future, be committed to the future, and understand that with every assignment of God, every mission of God, there will be guaranteed opposition. That's why God tells you, you have to turn away from your mountain, whatever the mountain is, feeling sorry for yourself, believing a certain way, being hurt, being offended. Why are Christians offended? How in the world can you call yourself a Christian and live with offense in your heart? If Jesus says, when you come to the altar, there remember your brother sinned against you, can make right with your brother, get over yourself, forgive your brother, because if you cannot forgive your brother, neither can your father forgive you your sins and your trespasses. No matter what your mama did, what your father did, what the great teacher did, what somebody did to you, it might be terrible. You cannot live in a prison of offense. You cannot live in a pit of bitterness. It will rob you of your faith, because faith worketh by love. Say amen tonight in Jesus' name. So God is calling us, and watch this space. 2026, the year of invasion. The presence of God is going to invade our services like never. The power of God is going to manifest like never. We are going to see God show up in stadiums all over South Africa. We are trusting God for a mighty invasion and outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen, and a multitude of people coming to Christ. So that's the number one invasion we want on our planet, right? An invasion of the presence of God. An invasion where God goes to the president and walks into his room, and the president turns to God, the minister turns to God, like Solomon. We are praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon South Africa like we've never seen, that the dead will come alive and the lost will be saved and the backsliders will be healed and the prodigals will return. We are trusting God for a mighty invasion. People will walk into the services. No man will be glorified, but blind eyes will open, deaf ears will be unstopped, because there is a Holy Ghost for invasion, because we've cried out to God, rend the heavens, O God, rend the heavens, O God, come down, shake the mountains. And I'll tell you, this is the year that we are going to see a mighty move of God. No matter what certain people are planning, no matter what certain commissions are planning against the church of South Africa, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Say amen tonight in the name of Jesus. I said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of our Lord Jesus Christ in South Africa. Christianity will become stronger. Christianity will become stronger in our schools, in our universities, because the children of God will rise up and become a force of invasion in Jesus' name. The second thing we want to see is God invade our economy. And that starts with you. You changing the face of the economy. You're having a vision that is bigger than just you and your family. Ask these people that employ a lot of people. It's called pressure. Ask them, and I don't want to point people out yet tonight. Ask people that run big businesses how many times they've thought, I don't have to do this. Nobody can have to say amen now. I don't have to do this because I've got enough. And with all the legislation and everything, the reason many business people are continuing business and expanding their business is because they're employing people. And sometimes they make a lot of money, but their expenses are so high that they actually make less money personally. So why should they do it? Because they realize it's not just about themselves. They realize that the purpose is not just to pay their bills. Their purpose is to change the world, to alleviate pain and suffering. If we are going to break poverty over South Africa, we need some business people to get vision. Stop blaming the government. Get a vision to start a company, employ one person, then two people, then 10 people, then 100 people. Expand your business. Come on. Believe God for a great, great, great business where you can help a lot of people in the name of Jesus Christ. So, we know what's going to happen, and it's happening. It's not by man's might and power, but by the Holy Spirit. Amen? I have 5 minutes left, and I haven't started. So, when God talks to Joshua, let's just go back there quickly. Number one, God says Moses is dead. You can't change certain things. It's done. Then God says, now. Everybody say now. I said, everybody say now. Now arise. Get out of your sitting, thumb-sucking mindset. And I know it's offensive to some of you because you're a religious person sucking your thumb. It's not helping you. People may weep with you today and they're going to criticize you tomorrow. So don't look for sympathy. Look for God. Stay strong in the presence of God. Gather yourself in the presence of God. If life knocks you to the ground like David at Ziklag, and they all fell to the ground and they wept until they had no power left, and then David's men turn against him, 1 Samuel chapter 30, and they talk about stoning him. David strengthened himself in the Lord. There are times that you will stand alone like this, but you are not alone. I said you are not alone. There are times that you may feel you are alone, but you are never alone, because God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You have to realize, young person, with great aspirations, hopes and dreams, there will be times that the only person who can stand is you yourself. Your friends are not going to stand with you, Job. Other people are not going to stand with you. People will say, I will pray for you. But the minute they leave your presence, they will not pray for you. You have to learn to stand. So God has a private conversation with Joshua. He's not talking to Joshua before the congregation, because God needs Joshua to be strong. For Israel to be strong, God needs strong leadership. A crisis in our world today that we do not have strong leadership in every arena of life. Let's not just go for the politicians. In every arena of life, we need sure-footed, strong leaders, men and women, who are bold and brave and radical and who will not back down from anything, but who have made up their minds, this is God's plan for me. So God says, arise and go. Go. Not pray about it. Not wish for it. Go. Sometimes we just want to pray, but you have to get off your knees and you have to go, right? You can pray for your business, but tomorrow you need to walk in the boardroom and make decisions. You have to fire some, you know, you have to. Careful, girl. We can't fire people in South Africa. It's a very long process. It's a very complicated process. So before you employ people, you better go through the selection process very, very carefully. Because you can't get rid of people that easy. In any case, we're talking about people that are all going to build businesses, okay? There's a lot of complications that come with a lot of responsibility. There's no rah-rah. A lot of challenges. You want to build something big, you're going to have to grow big. You have to grow up. You have to stop walking around sucking your thumb, meaning, oh, I don't feel happy, I've been hurt, I'm offended. You have to stop it. Get your thumb out of your mouth. Some of you are 50 years old, you're still sucking your thumbs. Let's not even talk about the 20-year-olds. They're still in diapers. Ah, it's a joke, man. It's a joke. You're not 20 years old, you're teenagers. So you're not in that category. Don't go there where you're going to get a diaper. Okay? We don't want to change your nappies for the rest of your life. Okay? Does your mother still bath you? So God says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you, as I said to Moses. Then God promises him the land. Then God says to him, no man shall be able to stand before you. That is guaranteed opposition. Then God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. There's the game changer. God is with you. Say it tonight. Say, God is with me. And God says, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. Therefore, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. He doesn't say pray for it. He says be it. Then he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, the word of God, but you will meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. No matter what you face, no matter what hell shows up, you need to choose to be strong and courageous. That is a choice. That is an attitude. In the name of Jesus, give me the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. God bless you. We love you. Amen. Amen. So God needs him to be strong and courageous because God knows there's opposition. With every assignment, there's opposition. So God says, I've given you the land, but it's not an empty land. There are giants, strong-walled cities, and they're not just going to surrender. You have to fight the good fight of faith, and you have to dispossess them. That means in business, you don't compete with other business people. You don't play dirty tactics with other people. You don't dig holes for other people, because the Bible says if you dig a hole for somebody else, you will fall in it. What do you do in business? You make sure that you are the best. You imitate your father. You run a business of excellence. The market is not saturated. There are people born. There are people graduating. There are people in new jobs all the time. So no matter what business you are in, there's enough fish for all of you. There's enough business for all of you. There's enough minds for people to open. There are enough buildings for people to open. You don't have to look at other people and think, I don't have a market. You have a market, and I'll tell you where your market is. Your market is in your faith in God. Your market is in the word that God gave you. I don't care if there's 100 churches. You do what God called you to do. You step out and you do what God called you to do, and let everybody else do what they're supposed to do. You don't compete with people. You build yourself. You enlarge yourself. You better yourself. You improve yourself. Like the number 10 or 15 or that kicks for the posts, he doesn't just train a little bit. He kicks and kicks and kicks and kicks and kicks and kicks until he gets it right. Right? Because when it's the World Cup final, those 3 points matter. And you all know, the same people that praise him, if he misses that, he's the worst fly-off in the world. That's how fickle people are. Oh, he's a hero in the semifinal. He's a hero in the quarterfinal. But let him miss the kick that matters. Then go watch those same people. Ek het al gekyk op Super Sport, rugby. Wat was daai program gewees? Super Rugby, wat ek al. Want het elke ou 'n opinie, soos mense kerk het, mos elke ou 'n opinie. 'N opinie. Jy loop hier in die eerste keer en jy's vol opinies. Maar jy het nog nooit 'n kerk gepastor nie. So ek gaan nie in jou besigheid inloop met my slim opinies nie. Maar dan hoor jy daai ou kom aan, bel hy oom Gert, bel en haal van waar ook al. Ja, ek wil nou maar net vir jou sê, Kobus. Jy weet, maar dan nou al 70 toetse, excuse me now, I'll go back to English now. Had hy nou al 70 toetse gespeel vir die Springbokke, maar nou sit oom Jan daar, of oom Gert, of oom Piet, of oom Adam, of wie ook al. Maar hy weet nou beter. Maar hy vergeet, 2 weke terug het hy ook ingebel en gesê, ja, man is goed, ja, hy is goed, hy man is goed, hy is goed. Maar nou het hy iets gedoen wat hy nie wou nie, en hy draai net so. It's mense. Mense. You have to contend with that. People are fickle. Today they like you, tomorrow they don't like you. It doesn't matter. Because God is for you and God is with you. You may have one client that leave your business. There are many others that are going to come. You stay focused on what God calls you to do. Come on, man. Say a good amen in Jesus' name. So when things get tough, you have to understand it's part of life. Jesus said, John 16:33, these things I've written that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, and be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. James 1 verse 2, the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, tests, or tribulations. 1 John 5 verse 4, the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So when you fall, you get back up again. Proverbs 24 verse 18, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. You lose a business, you start another business. You try something and it doesn't work, you try again. Like Thomas Edison, who tried 5,000 times to invent the light bulb that we just take for granted. When people said, why did you not give up? Why did you keep on? He said, I did not fail 5,000 times. I discovered 5,000 ways how not to make a light bulb. Amen? So we are not afraid. If it doesn't work, you try again. You improve yourself. You come with a different strategy. You make up your mind to be tough, to be resilient, because God's word has been spoken over your life. Amen. You know, we serve a great God. And we know this. And we serve a God that if he was here and he could have a personal conversation with us, which he actually does have through the Bible. That's why God says to Joshua, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate in day and night. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. If God's word is in your mouth, there's no place for any other words. No down talk, no negative talk, no gossip, no slander, nothing. All that comes out of your mouth is the word of God. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. Your mouth. When you speak, when you can't speak faith, you speak doubt. And when you speak doubt, you go without. If you can't say something in line with God's word, you need to. No, man, don't be so ugly. I'll never say words like that. You need to hush, little baby. Hush, 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 hush. Shh. That's why we're not led by our emotions. The Bible says, let the weak arm strong. You can't just go speak your mind everywhere. You'll ruin your life, because he that opens wide his mouth will have destruction. You can't one day, hallelujah, and the next day, oh, God is not good, etc. You have to understand, every word that comes out of your mouth influences your life. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. That's why the battle is in your mind. That's why God says, be strong and courageous. That means courage is the inherent ability to control fear and the disturbing effects of fear. God's not giving you the spirit of fear, power, love, and sound mind. Courage gives you the ability to control your mind. When you feel weak, you refuse to act weak. When you feel like quitting, you don't. That's courage. Me and Lady Brand, every week I felt like quitting. I felt useless. I felt, what am I doing here? There was a time I wanted to leave South Africa without, what is it now? Refugee status. I'm serious. Before we launched out in Pretoria. I had a great opportunity in America, take over a church of 2,000. And then I was in Lady Brand. And I was like, I'm going. And for 3 years I battled. I just wanted to go to America. I loved America. It is actually a great place. Some parts of it. Texas. Okay, whatever. Whatever. Forget that comment now. But for 3 years, and the church was flourishing in Bloemfontein. We were exploding. We were just growing. Services were exploding. 5,000 every service. Everything, the move of God, the presence of God, everything. And I lost my focus for a season. And I wanted to go to America. I did for 3 years. 3 years. Every time I came back into South Africa, I thought, what the heck doest thou here? Till God spoke to me. You were silent. Because I was going, wanting to go in a direction that he never called me. When he spoke to me, it was clear. He didn't have to repeat himself. Till I turned back to him. I said, Father, this thing needs to leave me. You've called me to South Africa. To change this country. To unite black and white people. And to build a church of all generations. Amen. But anybody that builds something will get opportunities. Many opportunities. And not all those opportunities are sent by God. Some of them are sent to distract you, to lure you away from what God has for you. That's why you dwell in the land where God places you. That's why God says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you. That means you live with an attitude of authority and dominion, and you don't live as a victim. You can be delivered from Egypt and still think like an Egyptian. But you will never go into Canaan with an Egyptian mindset. You have to leave that attitude behind. You have to get rid of it. You have to get rid of it. You have to allow the word of God to get rid of it. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night, day and night, day and night. Only way to change your mindset. Because we come from different backgrounds, different pasts, different experiences. Poverty is a curse. It's a terrible environment for people to come out of. And then they hear, God wants to bless you. Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have more abundantly. And it sounds like something so distant. It's not you're going to hear it once and it's going to stick in your bone. That's why in Deuteronomy, God repeats himself again and again and again and again and again and again and again. For 31 chapters, he says the same thing to the same people. Why? Because he's changing the mindset. Because it was the mindset that kept them from the promised land in the first place. He repeats himself. That's why he says to Joshua, this book of the law will not depart of your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to change your mind, change your thinking patterns, change your belief, change how you see yourself. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. Oh, you can pray and have goosebumps and feel anointed, but if your mind is still in Egypt, you will live there. And only the Word of God has the power to reconstruct your thinking patterns. To take a person, and we have many people like this that used to climb on buses from squatter camps, heard the Word. Because we had to bring them out of their environment. Listen to me. You're not going to transform somebody in a wrong environment. You have to bring them out of the wrong environment. God couldn't transform their minds in Egypt. He had to bring them out of Egypt and transform their thinking. Show them something better. You don't want to stay in a confined environment. You do not want to stay in confined relationships. And you do not want to hang out with negative people. They'll poison you. They'll rob you of your life and your future. The Word of God, that you may observe to do it. You do God's Word. You do God's will. You take the journey. You go, whether you feel like it or not. You take the journey. God says, turn from the mountain, take the journey. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming everybody. Stop saying the economy is not good. There are people sitting in the most prosperous cities and they still say there's no money. There are people sitting in towns where there is hardly any money and they're making a lot of money. What's the difference? Please, if people don't like this kind of preaching, because now it's like, I'm responsible. But then God says to Israel, I'm giving you the land. Promise. Responsibility is yours now to possess it. So we understand it when it comes to sport. Those people have to practice, they have to be the best to be selected. When it comes to life, business, professional careers, somehow we think that God does not reward the best. Knows the bias still. You have to get better or you will be beaten. You can be the number one person in South Africa, 100 meter sprinter. Stop training. Sit on your laurels. Sit on your yesterday, your greatness. Somebody else will come along who's committed, who's training, who's putting in the hard yards, and you will go there with your fancy t-shirt and your spikes and your swelled head and your fat belly. And you're going to lose. And you can say, I don't deserve it. Oh, you do. You stopped competing. You stopped advancing. You stopped moving. And when you stop moving, this arm becomes T-Rex personified. Your business, your character, anything in your life. You stop applying your mind. You stop studying. You stop meditating. Your mind becomes small, negative, fearful. That's why God takes 31 chapters, which wasn't written in 31 chapters, but we read it in 31 chapters, and God has a conversation about change your attitude. Change your attitude. Because there's a land of promise that God has for you. But it's not just going to happen. It's not this guy, this party is going to get out of power and then that party is going to get into power and we're all going to prosper. Really, do you believe that? Hello? In apartheid, by the way, because I'm a little bit older than you, there were a lot of poor white people as well. Although you don't believe it, you can listen to me. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't have said it. I said it because I lived there. Go ask your mother. No, go ask your grandmother. It's reality. Half the people were employed by the state. If you rode a Mercedes, then you were seen, a Mercedes 200, you were seen as a wealthy person. Now people drive Bentleys and Ferraris and they drive everything and we don't even think it's anything. There's always going to be rich people and poor people. There will always be people who get ahead in life and those who stay where they want. There will always be campers and climbers. You decide who you are. And you take your eyes off your brother, off your sister, off the other church. Stop justifying, I'm sitting here because I'm hurt. That's your choice. That's your choice. Believe me, after 40 years, I've got a lot of hurt. Or could have, a lot of betrayal. Could have been assassinated on social media more than anybody else I know. I could have stood up here with a broken heart. Could have. I choose not to. You know why? Because I'm not defined by those people. They don't know me. They don't know me. God knows me. I'm not defined. You're not defined by other people. You are defined by God's call upon your life. And you commit yourself to this journey. And the day you no longer commit, get out of the race. Because you are just going to discourage yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen. You receive the word. Give the Lord a praise. Come on. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Let's stand to our feet. Come on, they're in Bloemfontein, they're in Cape Town, in Potch. Come on, Johannesburg, stand to your feet. Give the Lord a praise tonight. Come on. Neamon, that's a gentle praise. Give the Lord a praise. Come on. Give the Lord a mighty praise. Come on, hallelujah. Our God is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. And He's with us. And He said to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The issue tonight is, God wants to be with you. Are you with God? You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, are you okay with God? Are you right with God? Are you walking with God? Do you have peace in your heart with Jesus? No one moving now, please. If you died tonight, can you still go to heaven? You're still doubting. Can you recall the day that you gave your life to Jesus? Because you don't become a Christian over a period of time. There's a day. I mean, if I ask you for your birthday, you can't say, I when I saw again, I was 10 years old and I was in a classroom. It doesn't work like that. Jesus said you must be born again. You must have a born again date, a born date, a birth date. Mine is the 14th of November, 1982. Long before most of you were even you were still running around somewhere. Somebody had to bring you here. But I know that day. What's your date? You say, it doesn't work like that for me. Oh, really? Let's go to the hospital and find out if it works like that. Now human beings come into planet Earth. They're born. How do you become a Christian? You're born again. What does that mean? You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You invite Jesus. You repent of a sinful life. And you invite Jesus Christ to become your Lord and your Master. If you've never done that, you have to do that. It's the only way to know. People say, and I've been a soul winner for so many years, they say, nobody knows, it's up to God. It is up to God. And He decided 2,000 years ago when He put His Son on the cross. He made the decision. The Bible says God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to be saved. You're not here by accident tonight. And standing here tonight are two kinds of people, those who know and those who don't know. Those who are heaven bound and those who are hell bound. And people say, don't talk about hell, it scares people. No, Jesus spoke about hell more than He spoke about heaven. It's a reality check that we realize there are consequences to our lives and actions, and we will all stand before God one day and give account of our lives, all of us. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And no good works will justify you in the presence of God. It is grace by faith alone, accepting what Jesus did for you, justified by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving, please. You're standing here tonight, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I don't have peace. If I died, I don't know if I'll go to heaven. But tonight I want to know, I want to make sure, I want to get right with God. I want to pray for you. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. Good people can also be lost. Isaiah says, your works of righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. No matter how good you are, your garment is spotted. Only the blood of Jesus can wash you. You need to open your heart and invite Jesus to come live in you. Not wish your way to heaven, not work your way to heaven. You accept Jesus Christ, the substitute, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Not that came to manage the sin in your life, but to destroy sin in your life, to set you free. So you're standing here tonight, you're standing vanavond, you don't believe sekerheid nie. You don't know if you sterf, you will go to heaven. I want you to pray vanavond. Maak nie 'n slegte mens nie. Maar vanavond praat God met jou en jy moet die besluit neem. Tonight, daar's 'n stem wat hier binne met jou praat. Wie is dit? Die Heilige Gees. There's a voice talking in your heart tonight saying to you, that man is talking to me right now. I need to get right with God. I need to get right with God. If that's your desire, you want to come back to God, you want to give your life to Jesus, you need a fresh start with God, I want to pray for you. Because that's the only guarantee we have of tomorrow. God is with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed, there in Bloemfontein, Johannesburg, in Potchefstroom, in Port Elizabeth, in all the beautiful churches, Durban, Pastor Glenia, all of the churches tonight, wherever you are, God's talking to you tonight. There's a stirring in your heart tonight. You say, that's me. I want to get right with God. If that's your desire, I want to pray for you. If that's you, please quietly lift your hand wherever you are. Just raise it up high quickly. I want to say a prayer for you before we close the service. Lift it up high. Say yes. Include me in that prayer. Thank you, God. Bless you. Lift it high, high, high. Thank you. Bless you, bless you. God bless you. Slip it up. Thank you. God bless you, bless you. God bless you. Slip it up tonight. Come on, man. God's talking to you. God's reaching down to you. Reach back up to Him. Thank you, God. Bless you, bless you. Those hands, God bless you, God bless you. It's a holy moment, sacred moment. Jesus, did I stand at the door of your heart and a knock? You open or shut. God's not going to force Himself in you. Once you've raised your hand, you can put it down. It's a very, very important moment. This last time before I pray, thank you at the back of those hands, you can put it down. As jy nog nie jou hand opgetel het vanoggend nie, ja, kyk waar is ek nog steeds, vanavond nie, as jy nog nie jou hand opgetel het nie, God praat met jou vanavond, ek wil vir jou bid, tel jou hand vanavond op in Jesus' naam, kom aan, hier is die voeling hier binnenkant, is die Heilige Gees, tel jou hand op, dankie, dankie. Come to Jesus. Give Jesus His rightful place. Amen. Now, please, be patient. Look at me. I said it in Johannesburg. You know, people look at us as preachers and they make up their mind whether they like us or not. I don't know what's wrong with you, because I like all of you. To sit there with prejudice in your heart all the time is not okay. You know nothing about me. And actually, if you find me in the gym, you'll actually see I'm a nice person, better than you. I'm more likable. Just when I get on this platform, I have a job to do. And I do it with all my heart. Not yet to entertain you. So, I'm here to preach the word of God to you. Get you right in the direction with God. Not make you feel nice. We can feel nice tomorrow when I meet you in the gym, right? And if somebody messes with you, I'll mess with that person. That's me. I'm not one of these double-minded Christians. I'm with you today and against you tomorrow. I don't come out of that world. In the world, we stood together, we fought together. You don't turn on somebody when they need you. Qualify that Christianity to me in your vocabulary. You want to talk about love? You walk out on somebody when that person needs you? Let's not even talk about it. Super religion. There's no love in that. I will never walk out on you. Ever. Yeah. And people formulate opinions having no information. God bless you in any case. So all over this place, you've raised your hand, you want to get right with God tonight. Maybe you brought a friend. Your love for your friend will bring your friend to Jesus tonight. Then reach out to people in all our churches. Leave your seat wherever you are. Don't think about it. Come down the stairs though. Don't roll down. Just walk down. It's a lot of stairs. Walk down the stairs that side. Walk down the stairs that side. Come on, you raise your hand. You want to get right with God tonight. You need to take a step of faith. Come, come, come. Don't feel embarrassed or ashamed. There's no shame. You just come tonight and give your life to Jesus tonight. Come on. Come on, this is your choice, your decision.
Lord, not just the room that you can have it all. My life laid down, I surrender all. I'm giving it.
Come on, let's encourage them as they come tonight. Come on. There are more of you beautiful young people. God's working in you. Don't stay in your seat. Come on. I'm going to wait for you. This will change your life forever. Come on, you feel the Holy Spirit moving out of you to the person next to you. Put your arm around that person. Say, come on, man, I'm going to walk with you. Let's love people to the altar tonight. Come on. To pray with all of you. Listen, don't be overwhelmed by this moment. God loves you. You are valuable. You are precious to Jesus. This is where we change. No other place. Or where change begins. All right. And, you know, if you bring your friends to church, take them to home cell with you. Don't just dump them. They're babies. They're coming to Christ. They're coming back. Look out. What about being your brother's keeper? You don't abandon your brother. Really, get real, man. Get Christian. Some people are so little Christian. It looks like the people that pray the most are the least Christian. Before we even got saved, we understood. You leave no brother behind. We understood what it meant to be your brother's keeper. That's Christianity, man. Not this religious nonsense that people are playing. It's not Christianity. People matter. People that got lost, people that backslid, they matter. They should matter to us. So you bring these people to church, you look after them, you take them to home cell. Even if they rant and rave, you get a zip tie, you tie them down, and you take them. Amen. You're dating that girl, she no longer wants to come to church, you give her one more chance. You draw the line, man. You're dating a guy and he doesn't want to come to church. Draw the line. Where do you think he's going to take you? And I know you can't zip tie, but we've got some pretty big men in our church that will go zip tie and bring him and see if the man actually wants to serve God. Amen. You want to love somebody that loves God as much as you love God. Or more. Amen. Yeah. You want to climb the mountain. You want to be committed to the journey. It's not a game, this. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. When you've lived long, a life long enough, you know all it takes is guts, guts, and guts. There's no glory. It's guts. This didn't. Next, honestly. And that's God with you, but guts. No feeling, no emotion, nothing. Guts. That's it. You gut it out. You get back there. You didn't make the degree, go back and get your degree. You didn't get the course, take another course. If it takes a little bit longer, don't whine. Take the journey And sometimes there's a detour in the journey, but you don't renegotiate your destiny. You're called to be a doctor and you have to go study BSc because you're not getting in for whatever reason. You don't quit on being a doctor because you're going to work until you're 85. Amen? And how old are you now? 18. So how many years are we talking about? So if you qualify when you're 30, because it's a long thing, studying to be a doctor now with Zuma's 50 years added. It's a long journey. Right? So if it takes a year or two longer, so what? When you're qualified when you're 30, then you're going to be a doctor 30 to 85. That's 55 years. But sometimes when we're young, we can't think like that. We're impatient. We're just like, I want it now. No, you start the journey now. That's it. You get one client and you look after that client. Then two, then three, then five, then 10. Then you lose three. Then you start with seven. Then you grow to 15 and you lose eight. And you just keep on. You stay committed. You stay committed. And you shut the voices out that will try and melt your heart. Shut them. Shut them. They don't care anything about you. They will not be there tomorrow when you bleed. They will not be there. You shut those people out of your life. You stay the course. You stay the journey. And you find some people that are going where you want to go. And you move. Comfortable relationships. Iron sharpens iron. You need to hang out with people that challenge you, that sharpen you, that unsettle you a little bit, so you can grow and become bigger and better to possess what God has for you. That's it. Selah. Great to pray with all of you beautiful people. You are all beautiful. God created you beautiful in His image. Hoeveel keer gaan jy nou nog gered raak? Ek speel met jou, man. You bring people to the altar. Dis 'n grap. Okay, relax, asseblief. Daar staan jou vrou en sy dink, hoe kan jy nou dit aan my man doen? Moenie worry nie, I'll heal him in the men's conference. He's gonna be okay. All right? We'll deal with our hurt. Put your hand on your heart. Let's pray together. Come on in all the churches. Reach your hands out to the people. Let's pray together. We're almost finished with the service. Come on, pray with me tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I come and I give my life back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. Thank you that you died for all my sin. You rose from the grave and you're alive. I need you, Jesus. I want you to be part of my life. So I turn away from sin. I repent tonight and I turn to you and I call on your name and I ask you, save me, wash me in your blood, give me the power to be your child. Tonight I confess you, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. I surrender all to you. Tonight I embark on a new journey to follow you, to love you, and to serve you in Jesus' name. Remove every wrong relationship from my life and bring those who will be a blessing and help me grow in the things of God. Thank you, Father, for loving me just as I am. I'm born again, forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.